TGH. Oh, come on now. Do you feel the presence of the Lord in this place? Come on. We've been asking him to show up in our church, to bring his presence. And I believe he's answering our prayer. And in his presence, supernatural things happen. So I don't want you to miss this moment. Whatever you need from Jesus, I want you to tap in. Make your request known to him, because his presence is in this place. If you're so glad he's with us, let me hear you make some noise. Give him some praise. Hey, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we're so grateful that you're meeting us right in the middle. Oh. I'm almost afraid to keep going because I just feel like somebody's getting their breakthrough. I feel like someone is feeling his presence for the first time in a long time. And I don't want my words to block it, so we're gonna take about 5 more seconds. Thank him for his presence. Thank him for his love. Thank him for his spirit that not only fills this place, but watch this, it fills you. So his presence goes with you everywhere you go. And that's enough to give him the praise, the glory, and the honor. Amen. Amen. Oh, come on now. We gotta get on our best behavior, or we gonna tear this church up. You don't get excited about a song that talks about a sound mind unless you've had the enemy attack your mind. He tried to put thoughts of anxiety in your mind, self-doubt in your mind. Come on, for me, guilt and shame in your mind for what you've done. But in the presence of the Lord, all of the lies of the enemy are rebuked by his truth. So we thank you, God, for your truth. We thank you, God, for your presence. And we thank you for everything that you bring when you show up. And dear Heavenly Father, as we finish this sermon series on the harvest, we pray that you would give us a heart check today. Not only do we want a sound mind, but we want a heart that is ready for your harvest. We've already learned that you are the Lord of the harvest. And we've already learned that you meet us in the middle, right where we are. But dear Heavenly Father, if you are going to bring the harvest within our church, I pray that you wouldn't find us in the wrong heart posture. Prepare our hearts, heal our hearts, and open our hearts for what you want to do in this place. Give us a heart of obedience and not selfishness. Give us a heart to hear and give us a heart to move whenever you speak. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Everyone who agrees with that prayer, say amen. 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 I'm going to ask you to take a seat really quickly. My intro is kind of long, and then I'm going to get us to our text today. But I just wanted to share a few things as a backdrop for the message I'm going to give today. Oh, come on. Y'all look good today in this weird weather day. Is it 60 or 20? Is it cold or hot? What are we doing out here? Some of y'all wore some shorts and a pea coat because you don't know what's going on. You have no idea. But what we do know is that the Lord is here and that through this series, he has been speaking to us. We didn't know that we would be in this season at this time. We had no idea what this year had in store, but he's been showing us that in spite of everything we did not expect, that we can expect his harvest. We can expect his kingdom to continue to be built. And I'm so grateful that I got to be able to share with you all. Last time I spoke, I reminded us that when Jesus shows up in a city, in a borough, and in a church, supernatural things happen. I reminded us that he sees his people and has compassion on them. And people receive truth and healing. But as I continue to study what happens when Jesus showed up, I noticed a few more things. I noticed that when he shows up, not only does he heal and bring truth, but he progressively reveals himself to us. Oh, come on now. I wish that was something shout-worthy. I wish that was exciting, but how many of you know when he shows up, he doesn't just come to give truth. He doesn't just come to give healing. He comes to give us more of him. When he shows up, he heals and he does the miraculous, but he does those things to reveal himself to us. And as we observe his works in the scripture, we not only see him revealing his power, but we also see him revealing his heart to us. And we've already established that he is the Lord of the harvest. And we've already established that he meets us right where we are in the middle, and his harvest will come. But I just want to shed a little bit of light as we close this series on the heart that we as the laborers in the harvest must have. I want to take us to the book of John. Follow me. That's my favorite gospel. The gospel according to John. Go to the book of John. Our text is in John chapter 6, but I got to give you a little bit of lead up when it comes to that. Because in John chapter 1 through 6, it is full of Jesus showing up and doing the miraculous. Oh, come on now. Before I even read it, do you know that Jesus is a miracle worker? That Jesus is capable of doing things that no one else can do. He is capable of bringing miracles into your life. In John chapter 1, John teaches us that he left heaven and became a man and dwelt among us. Already in John chapter 1, that's miraculous. John chapter 2, Jesus performs his first miracle and turns water into wine at the wedding at Cana. He then goes to the church and sees that the temple is being misused and led by greedy leaders. And he flips tables and reminds them that his house is supposed to be a house of prayer. In John chapter 2, he came to church and he showed up wanting to do miracles, but he couldn't do what he wanted to do because the people at church had the wrong heart. In John chapter 2, verse 23, it says, because of his miraculous signs, Jesus had people who started to follow and trust him. But verse 24 says, but Jesus did not trust them because he knew all about people. No one needed to tell him about our nature. Why? Because Jesus didn't just become a man, he created man. So he knew us before we knew ourselves. And then he says, for he knew what was in each person's heart. So there were things he wanted to do for his harvest, but he had to address their heart first. In John chapter 3, Jesus began baptizing people, and John the Baptist humbled himself and declared that Jesus was the Son of God. In John chapter 4, Jesus heals an official's son, and because of the miracle, the official and his family believed in Jesus. I'm almost there. John chapter 5, Jesus heals the lame man and calls him to walk. And then the religious leaders began to harass him for claiming and revealing that he was the Son of God. Now we find him in John chapter 6, and you can stand with me now. Jesus continues to do miracles, and he does one of the coldest miracles of all time. He feeds 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. How many of you know that when we show up, even though we don't have enough, what we have when we give to Jesus is enough for him to do a miracle? I can go ahead and finish my message right there. That's not even my message, but he took what the disciples gave him. And even though it was not enough for the harvest, he made it enough. We should be encouraged that in our church, we might feel like we don't have enough for his harvest, but what we do have, we give to the Lord, and he multiplies it. So he does this miracle. And everyone eats the bread, and everyone eats the fish. It was so much that they had leftovers. Then he leaves and goes to another place, and he walked on water. This dude is just doing miracles. It's just crazy. And he calmed the storm in front of his disciples. This is where I want us to read today, because often we focus on when he's doing the miracle, but we don't see what happened after his miracle. This leads us to the text in John 6, starting at verse 22. Because those same people who enjoyed the bread of his harvest, they woke up the next day and they began to look and search for Jesus. Verse 22 in John 6, it says, the next day, the crowd that had stayed on the far shore saw the disciples had taken the only boat, and they realized that Jesus had not gone with them. Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into boats and went to Capernaum to look for him. In verse 25, they found him on the other side of the lake. And they said, Rabbi, when did you get here? And watch what Jesus says. Jesus replied and said, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you. Not because you understood my works. Not because you understood why I did miracles. Verse 27, and this should check our heart, and we're going to get ready for his word. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy, focus your heart on seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man has given you. As laborers in his harvest, TGH, we should strive to share his heart for the harvest. Yes, we know he can do miracles. Yes, we know he can do great things. But we aren't seeking him for his miracles. We're seeking him so that we can know and have him. So let me pray for us as we keep going. The heart of the harvest. I know this is going to be a quiet one. I know this ain't an exciting one. But this is a heart check for all of us and our church and where he's taking us. We can't shout if our heart isn't in the right place. We can't celebrate what he's about to do and be in the wrong heart posture. He's going to check us today the same way he checked that crowd. So dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We've already worshiped you. We've already said that we want a sound mind. But dear Heavenly Father, we pray for our hearts in this moment, God. Let us not be found like the crowd that sought you, not for you, but for another miracle, but for more bread. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to dedicate our hearts to being a church that when we have a heart for your harvest, we are never found with a heart that is not seeking you above all else. It's in Jesus' name I ask all these things. Everyone who agrees, say amen. Amen. You may take a seat all over the place. Oh, come on now. Come on now. I'm excited about this word. I'm so excited. Having your heart checked doesn't always feel good. But sometimes you got to go through heart checks to be in the right place for the Lord. A couple weeks ago, we celebrated Valentine's Day. And let me just tell you something about me. I am top five, maybe even top three, least romantic dudes in the world. When I tell you, my wife has to put up with a dude that when Valentine's Day come, I haven't planned a thing. I'm not even thinking about it. I am one of the most least romantic dudes ever. I'm one of those guys where it's like, you know I love you, so what am I making plans for? What's a flower gonna do? Chocolate? Come on now, I'm chocolate. How about that? Like, I'm thinking, you know I love you. Why do I have to do things for you? And then Valentine's Day came, and my wife is so romantic. She bought me gifts. She had a plan for the day. And here I am. I'm like, oh, we actually doing this. Like, we supposed to get gifts. Oh. So I spent the whole day trying to get her a gift. Last minute. So not thoughtful. So not premeditated. And by the time I met her after work and gave her her gift, you know how you can give someone a gift and you see on their face that this ain't a good gift? You see them out of love being like, it's like the, oh, thanks. She gave me one of those. And Valentine's Day after Valentine's Day, secretly in my heart, I think to myself, why does she put up with me? Like, not even jokingly, like, she could have anybody else in the world. And I'm not romantic, and I'm not thoughtful, and I don't get her the gifts that I know she deserves. Why is she still with me? And she had to assure me that, yes, I want the gifts you can give me. Yes, I want the romantic gestures. But more than anything, I'm with you for you. I love you. Above what you can do for me, above what you can get me, above all of the romantic things, if all I have is you, my heart is pleased. And Jesus invites us into a relationship with him. And yes, he can do all of these great things for us. Yes, gifts come with being in a relationship with Jesus. And yes, it's beneficial for us more than it is him. But he wants to know that above all things, that we are seeking him and love him, not for the gifts that he gives, but we love him for him. I love the Lord because of the things he's done for me. But if he doesn't do anything else in my life, if all he does is give me him, will my heart be satisfied? And the crowd in the text, we see them confronting Jesus after he just did one of the most amazing fish fries in the world, in history. It's crazy. You turned 5 to 5,000. And the number is kind of off because it was 5,000 men, which meant it was actually about 15,000 people who he multiplied for. So they just witnessed him give them bread. And we know that in harvest, the last stage of harvest is bread. And when Jesus shows up and we give him what we have, he takes what we have and it leads to bread. But this crowd, after the harvest happened, after they received the bread, Jesus wasn't done teaching them about himself. Go back to verse 25 through 26. Let's read this. It says, they found him on the other side of the lake, and they said, Rabbi, teacher, when did you leave? When did you get here? And Jesus replied in verse 26, he said, I tell you the truth. You're only seeking me. You only want me because of the miracle that I did yesterday. You only desire me because I fed you with bread. And I want you to know that you are misunderstanding my miracles. The people who Jesus miraculously fed woke up the next day and they wanted to find Jesus, but he had to rebuke them for their reason for following. Jesus was disappointed because the crowd followed him because they wanted more miracles and not more of him. And I don't want you to feel bad in this house because I know some of you have come to church on Sunday. You've come to church today because there's something you want Jesus to do for you. And I don't want you to feel like that's a bad thing to do because there's nobody else you should seek for when you want something to happen in your life miraculously. But I want you to know that even if he does what you want him to do, and even if he does not, that doesn't mean you should stop following him. The condition of you following him should not be if he comes through on your prayer request. What if you get to him and all you get is him? They showed up and met him the next day, but there was no bread. There was no more fish. All they found was him. And Jesus says, I tell you, all you wanted was what I gave you and not me. And in verse 27, he says, but do not be concerned about perishable things. Oh my gosh, Lord, why are you doing this? I'm trying to preach and you convicted me right now. Why? He said, don't be concerned about things that will perish. Think about how much of your prayers are filled with things that are temporary and perishable. How often are you spending your time in the Lord, not focused on eternal things, not focused on kingdom things, but God, give me this for tomorrow. God, give me this career. God, I'm lonely today. I don't want to be lonely tomorrow. But how much of our prayer is about the things that have eternal value? He said, you're concerned about perishable things when you should be spending your energy seeking eternal life. The thing that the Son of Man can give you. My first point, I know it took me a long time to get here, but I got to tell you this. Don't miss the Messiah seeking the miracle. Oh, my goodness. Can I say that one more time? Don't miss the Messiah seeking the miracle. Because Jesus doesn't do miracles to impress us. He doesn't do miracles so you can see him as a genie or a magician. He does miracles to reveal his power to us, to reveal his character to us. So when he does do a miracle, you need to thank him, but not fall in love with what he did. Fall in love with him because he did it. If Jesus healed you and he uses a doctor, you don't fall in love with the doctor. You say, thank you, Lord, for using the doctor. if you get a new job and now you bred it up and now you can go eat at Melba's twice a week, don't thank Melba, don't thank your job, thank the Lord that blessed you with the job. When we're seeking the Lord, oh, I said Melba, some of y'all thought about that, wings, that, my bad, I'm sorry. Think about the Lord and not his hand. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Jesus shows up to heal. He shows up to bless, but he shows up so that we can know and experience him more. To love Jesus, you need to know him. And there's so many people that come to church and they're worshiping a Savior they do not know. Some of y'all know about Jesus, but you haven't taken the time to lean into him and spend time with him and talk to him and get to know him and love him for who he is. Most of us know what Jesus has done and what he can do, but do you know him? Do you love him? Don't miss him seeking what he can do for you. When Jesus shows up in our lives, we miraculously get so much. I'm about to go down a list. He miraculously lets us experience his love. The fact that we did not seek him first, but he loved us before we loved him back, is a miracle. When he shows up, we also get grace. Oh, I'm so excited about grace. Grace is when he gives us what we don't deserve. That's a miracle. Not only does he give us grace, but he also miraculously gives us mercy. What is mercy? It's when he does not give us what we do deserve. Y'all, Plant, are you with me? Are you with me, Plant? He gives us what we don't deserve, but then he also doesn't give us what we do deserve. Do you know that that is a miracle? The fact that you deserve condemnation, the fact that you deserve to be separate from God, but because Jesus showed up, the miracle is now you have an opportunity to have a relationship with God. And it's because of his love, his grace, his mercy. And here's my favorite one. I hope I don't do a backflip. He gives us forgiveness. Woo! It says he knows what's in our heart. And when he sees our sin, he doesn't keep a list of it. It says he erases the record of our wrongdoing. He forgives us, and that is a miracle. And after he forgives us, he gives us a purpose. That's a miracle too. Why would God want to use the unfaithful? Why would he forgive us and also give us a purpose in life? It's because he loves us. Another gift he gives us is blessings. And some of y'all are blessed and don't even know it. Some of y'all have gifts and don't even know it. Some of y'all are really sleeping on how blessed you are. And it's a miracle that God wants to bless us. But can I tell you the greatest miracle he's performed? Can I tell you the greatest thing that we get when Jesus shows up? It's not love, it's not grace, it's not mercy. Those are all amazing. But the greatest miracle, the greatest thing we get is God. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not a prosperity preacher. I'm sorry. But the gospel is so beautiful, not because of the miracles, not because of all the gifts, but because of Jesus, we now get God. God is the greatest part of the gospel. God is the greatest part of the harvest. We get him. Do you know that hell is not eternal fire? I know we were taught that. I know we were taught fire and brimstone. But hell is eternal separation from God. The worst thing can happen, the worst thing that can happen to you is that you spend eternity without God. That is what we're trying to evangelize people for. That is why we share the gospel. That is why we are uncomfortable. That is why we invite people to church. Not so they can get blessings, not so that miracles can happen, because they will and can, but we want more people to have God. And Jesus is teaching us that if your heart is not postured for the harvest to be all about him, that he is the greatest gift, that if you're seeking him, let it not be for his miracles, but let it be for him, then our heart is in the wrong place. I'm sorry, y'all. That was a tangent. Main point number two. Are we seeking his harvest or his hand? I'm going to let that sizzle a little bit. Are we seeking his harvest or his hand? Look at verse 28 in John 6. It says, the people responded to his rebuke, and they said, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? Look at what Jesus says they should do. He says, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one whom he has sent. He said, you can try to do a lot of works, and you feel important when you do it. You want the Employee of the Month award. You want the Disciple of the Year award for all the works that you're doing. But the greatest work you can do is believe and grow in your faith in him. When you show up to church, your greatest goal should be, Lord, I want to know you more than I did yesterday. I want to experience you more than I did yesterday. Because all you're really asking me to do is believe. And you need to believe him more than you did yesterday. Lord, I pray that the pastor teaches me something that makes me fall more in love with you. I pray that in worship I'm reminded of your goodness and my heart is more drawn to you. He asked for one thing. Believe in the one that he sent. This is a reminder that a relationship with God cannot be earned through works. We are saved by grace through faith alone. Works did not save you, and works are not going to grow you in him. If you do works, it's because you're working out of a heart of love for him, not obligation. Not to earn his love, not so he can think of you higher than what you are. But Lord, I love you so much, I want to labor in your harvest. I want to give my gifts to you. I want to give my time to you. And it's because of who you are, not your hand. Verse 30, they answered saying, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. Hashtag trifling. Look at this. Jesus says, you following me because you want a miracle, but all I want is for you to believe. And they say, well, if you want us to believe, do another miracle. Look at what else they say. What can you do? I know you did the little bread thing, but what else can you do? So Jesus asks for their hearts. They reply and say, do another miracle. Verse 31. And then they reminded him of what God did through Moses. They said, after all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. They said, God already did the bread thing. He already did that in the Old Testament. So actually, we're kind of trying to be more impressed. Because you did something that God already did. Do something new, God. Then it said, they quoted scripture. They said, the scripture says, Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. So are you better than Moses? Verse 32, Jesus said, and Jesus, see, the way I would have responded, it wouldn't have had any Holy Ghost on it. But he said, I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you the bread. My father did. And you're about to miss the new thing my father is offering you. He says, and now he offers you the true bread of heaven. I'm about to jump and do a flip over here. He says, you're reminding me of the temporary bread he gave to the Israelites. And you're asking me to do another temporary thing. But you don't realize that I've shown up not to continue to give you temporary bread for the harvest. The manna came down and it had to keep coming down because it was temporary. He said, but I show up not to give you temporary bread, not to give you temporary manna, not to give you something that'll only hold you for today and now you're looking for me tomorrow. I'm giving you something that has eternal value. He says, you got manna, but I'm offering you the true bread of heaven. I'm offering you the real bread. And I just need to know, are you seeking me for my hand, or do you want me for me? Let's pause for a second. Everybody put your hand on your heart. Everybody put your hand on your heart. In this season of our church, we're seeking Jesus for his harvest. We're seeking Jesus for his presence. And we know that when Jesus shows up in our situation, he loves us, he heals us, and he has compassion for us. But when he shows up, let him not find our church seeking him for the temporary. But I want him to show up to TGH and find a church full of believers who are longing for the eternal gift of knowing him. Jesus, if you only show up and give us more of you, we are pleased. If you only show up and give us more reasons to love you, we are so pleased. And all of that will make the miracles just icing on the cake. Oh my gosh. If your heart is to love him and him alone, when he does the miracle, how much more grateful are you? Because I didn't even expect you to do that. I came wanting you. But when I seek first the kingdom, like Celis said, then he adds all those things. It's not that he doesn't want to do those things and give you more, but he wants us to put him first. Let me close out here. Main point number three, because he offers them the true bread of heaven. After they say, hey, do another miracle and do it more impressive because Moses did that last one. And he responded in love. He says, I'm offering you the true bread of heaven. But just like humans, just like man, we keep being trifling. Verse 33, Jesus says, the true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Verse 34, they say, sir, the people said, sir, give us that bread each day. They say that because they still don't realize what he's offering. He's saying God wants to give you the true bread of heaven, and they still think about manna. So they say, hey, give us that new bread every day. But look at how Jesus replies. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, though you have seen me. However, here's the good news. However, the ones that do seek me for me, the ones who do seek my harvest and not my hand, the ones who the Father gives me, I will never reject them. Oh my gosh, I wish you would have heard what I just said, because you would have shouted a little bit better than that. He says, the one who seek me for me, the one who have the right heart posture, the Lord will give them to me and I will never reject them. There's somebody in the room and you showed up today wondering if you were worthy of God's love, wondering if God will accept you, wondering if he actually will forgive you. I know the pastor said that, but I know how my heart feels when I think about what I did. You came in here not believing that you're good enough to be in God's church. And it may be because of what somebody told you. It may be because of what the enemy has told you. It may be because of your own guilt and shame. But Jesus says in this text, all who come to me and have a heart for me first and love me for who I am, I will accept them and I will never reject them. In my arms is acceptance. In my arms is eternal love. There's no conditions to my love. Once you come to me, there's nothing that can separate you from my love. And I know that some of you, that sounds too good to be true. But the gospel is too good to be true. That's why we love him so much. That's why every Sunday we come and worship him. That's why you see the altar full of people in tears on their knees, because we still can't comprehend why he loves us this much, how he forgave us, how he overlooked our sins, how even though I'm about to sin tomorrow, he still has purpose for me today. He overlooks everything. He's covered my sins. And this is, as he's speaking this, this is before he died for these people. They didn't even know that as he was offering them true bread, that he would eventually die a criminal's death on the cross. Because the wages of sin is death. And he loved us so much that he didn't want us to have to die. So he lived a perfect life, a sinless life, a blameless life. And he became the sacrifice that we could not be. And he died on the cross. And every time he was whipped, he was thinking about you. Oh, I'm so... Every time someone spat in his face, he was thinking about you. Every time they put a nail in his hand, he was thinking about you. When they mocked him, when they told him he wasn't really God, when everyone turned their backs on him, when Judas denied him and betrayed him, when Peter said, I didn't know who he was, he didn't give up because he was thinking about you. Because he loves you for you, not what you can do for him. And he's just asking we share that same heart towards him. Jesus died before you could do any works. He died before you were even a thought in your parents' minds. Before you were born, he died thinking about you. And here we are in church, and we know his harvest is coming. And his one desire is that we believe in him and seek him first. Because what he's about to do in our church is going to require the right heart posture. He doesn't want to do this work he's about to do in TGH if we don't have the right heart posture. There are people who are coming to church and they don't need a spectacle. They don't need a show. They don't need entertainment. They need Jesus. Will we be the church where above all else, our heart is for people to experience and know God and God alone? If you want to be that church, if you want your heart to be in that place, if you want to be an answer to what Jesus is saying, I dare you to stand on your feet and give God a crazy praise, not for his hand, but for who he is. Dear God, we worship you for who you are. Dear God, we love you because you are the Son of God. You are the Lamb of God. You are the sacrifice in our place. And you didn't wait for us to do anything to love us. You didn't wait for us to get our lives together. Some of us came in here in the middle of sin, in the middle of mistakes, in the middle of being unfaithful, and you still see us the same. You love us, and all you want is for us to love you back. That's all he wants from you. That's all he wants from you. He's not asking for perfection. He's asking for faith. He's saying, I created you. I knew you before you were formed in the womb. I'm not afraid of your flaws. I'm not like your friends. I'm not like your family. I'm your creator. And I'm your first love. I love you more than you love yourself. And you keep letting things block you from just experiencing me authentically. Yes, I hear your prayers for miracles, and I can do all of those things. But I don't want you to be blessed and not have a heart for me. The Lord is calling us into deeper devotion. He's calling us into a deeper knowledge of his character. The Lord is calling us into an intimate relationship with him. He's calling us to that type of relationship where you don't wait till Sunday to talk to him. The same way you wake up and grab your phone, do you wake up and reach for more of him? Do you wake up and say, God, show me more of you. I just want to know you. Lord, we want your harvest. But ultimately, we need your heart if we're going to have the harvest. Thank you, God. Glory to God. I want to read one more scripture, and then I'm going to do an altar call. And if you feel the Lord calling on you, if you feel him tugging on your heart, I challenge you to already start coming to the altar. Don't deny it. The Lord is calling you nearer. He's reminding you of his love. He's reminding you of how he sees you in spite of how you see you. He's reminding you that he forgives you. Oh, somebody needs to hear that. Somebody needs to hear that. My daughter, I forgive you. My son, I forgive you. I haven't stopped loving you. I haven't stopped calling you. This does not cancel your purpose. This is actually going to enhance what I'm gonna do in your life. Your testimony is gonna be more powerful because of the things you've done. All I'm asking you for is for you to continue to believe in me. I wanna read one more scripture, and then we're gonna cover this altar in prayer. And we're gonna pray that the Lord would give us his heart. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul is speaking to the church, and he's encouraging them to have the same attitude, the same mind, and the same heart as Jesus does. Philippians 2 verse 1, Paul says, "Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit?" Listen to this. He says, "Are your hearts tender and compassionate?" He says, "Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and one purpose." Paul says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress other people. He said, but be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out for only your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Verse 5, you must have the same attitude that Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. Thank you, Jesus. He took the humble position of a slave. Thank you, Jesus. He was born as a human, and when he appeared, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of honor and gave his name the name above all names. These last two verses, and we're going to praise his name. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. It says in heaven and on earth, every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus. In heaven and on earth, every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. When we have the right heart for the harvest, the Lord will draw his sons and daughters into his church. And when they come into his church, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we will receive the true bread of heaven, not the temporary bread, but the eternal bread. How many of you are so happy that in Jesus we will never hunger again? We will never thirst again. And when he returns, it says he will.
wipe every tear from our eyes. Oh, God. Oh, we want your harvest. We want you, God. I want to know you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All I want is you, Lord. All I want is you, Lord. I tried everything else, and nothing satisfies me but in you. Oh. Jesus, we just want you. Nothing else satisfies us. We keep seeking everything else, and we're left hungry and thirsty like we first started. But you said, if we love you for who you are, and we seek first your kingdom, we seek first your harvest, that you will meet every need. You will give us the desires of our hearts. And God, I even pray that you would take ungodly desires out of our heart and give us your desires. What do you want? The people in the text, they demanded what they wanted from you. But at this altar, we say, ask of us what you want. How can we bless you, Lord? Everything. You deserve so much more. Oh, Jesus, we don't have much to give. We don't have much to give. But in John 6, a boy showed up with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He didn't show up with a lot. He showed up with what he had. And when he gave you what he had, you took the little and you blessed the harvest. So let us be found like the boy in the text. We bring what we have to your altar, God. And we know it's not enough. But when we give you what we have, you miraculously make it enough for your harvest. So God, we close this sermon and we close this series, placing our hearts at your altar. Lord, desires for who you are is what we want our hearts to be filled with. We want to know you. We want to experience you. And all we want is you in the end. It's in Jesus' name. We believe, we ask, and we expect your harvest. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone say amen. Amen and amen.